So all of these kind of things can help us create an ambience of kindness. And maybe it's naive to think that doing that will actually start having an effect outwards, but I do believe it does. I do believe it has a ripple out effect. And other things like just learning to apologise. Sometimes it's so hard, isn't it? You know, when you've done something and you know you've done it. Well, a bit of you knows you've done it, and there's another bit that's kind of rather stubbornly refusing to recognise that you've done it. But it's so important when we do realise that to be able to apologise. But also it's important to learn how to accept apologies. You know, there's nothing worse. Well, maybe there are other things that are worse, but it is painful when you've gone to somebody and said, I'm really sorry for that, and they kind of go, yeah, well, you know, well, it was really horrible. And you think, yeah, no, that's why I'm apologising. And maybe they're not quite ready to accept it, and you just have to kind of live with that, really, don't you? But actually, if we can be magnanimous enough to accept apologies when they come to us, I think it really, really has a big effect on the person. So learning to forgive, learning to accept apologies. I've got another dream here, but I don't know if I think maybe you've had enough of my dreams. David Loy, in a book called Money, Sex, War, Karma, which is not only a good title, but actually a really good book, quite recommend it. He says, on about war, he says, Buddhism offers us a different perspective. In place of this battleground of wills, where good contends against evil, the most important struggle really is the spiritual one, between ignorance and delusion on the one hand, and liberating wisdom on the other. Seeing the world primarily as a war between good and evil is one of our most dangerous delusions. Strikes me as really true, on the kind of national and international, global level, that is so true. And I'm sure others of you remember the occasion after the bombing in 9/11 with the Twin Towers, and the response of the American government at the time, the administration at the time. And actually the terminology used by Bush at that point was completely the same as the terminology used by Al-Qaeda. It was exactly the same. It was the axis of evil. It was the, evil, 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 and the need for a righteous and just response. And it was horrifying. I mean, I remember very strongly sitting listening to this kind of speech and just thinking, there was no questioning of how did we get here. There was very little sense of, well, perhaps conditions have led us to this point, or a sense of what responsibility does a nation have for the conditions that are part and parcel of something like that happening. And it's so easy to just ascribe blame. And I found in my own head, I knew exactly where my blame was going. Note that in any moment I condoned an act of such violence. But at the same time I found myself thinking, but don't you realise what's behind that? Or don't you realise what else is happening? What are the conditions that have led to that? And it seemed to me such a lovely opportunity for looking at conditionality and causality, and it was missed. It was an opportunity missed, at least by the leaders of nations, it seemed to be. But one of the things that I think did happen around that, and that seems to be continuing to happen, is the belief in people power again. You know, there does seem to be a belief that people can actually demonstrate or can actually make their feelings known. So in some places that has had very little effect, but I was living in Spain at the time. Actually, later on, one of the things that happened in Spain was, you remember the bombings and the Madrid trains? And there was an immediate assumption that was... had been done by ETA, the terrorist group from the north of Spain. And Aznar, who was currently the Prime Minister at that time, the President at that time, it was amazing. And I was sitting in my flat watching BBC World, which was saying that they already knew it was an Al-Qaeda bomb. And the Spanish TV was still saying that this was ETA. And there were mass demonstrations in the street. They were amazing, though. They were silent demonstrations, which for Spain is an extraordinary phenomenon. Spanish and the whole, my years of living there, I'd never seen a silent anything. And the idea of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people congregating in silence to demonstrate against that. And it overthrew the government. The elections were very soon after that. And the socialist government came in with a massive majority. Now, whether that was good or bad, or whether, you know, that was a better government or not, is not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is more that there was actually an action taken, a peaceful action taken by people, which in fact did seem to have an effect. And I think it's important to remember that things can have an effect. Currently in the Valencia Sangha when I was there, you know, there's all these people congregating in the streets at the moment in Spain again. They're in Madrid, Valencia, Barcelona. They're sitting in Seville. They're sitting in the main square at the town hall. And our centre there are running meditations every Sunday. And I went alone and sat for a while one Sunday in this meditation group. And it's very pretty, the town hall square in Valencia. It's green and quite sort of nice. And they were under a particular tree, and people were coming and joining. And some of the other Buddhist groups were meeting as well. And I think they ended up with about 70 people sitting meditating. And for me, I sat there at one point, and I suddenly remembered my haranguing days when I stood at the corner and sort of shouted and tried to invoke peace by screaming at people. And it was quite moving, actually, just sitting there. And there was all sorts of other things going on around, and there were speeches happening and talks happening, and there was a band playing, and there were jugglers juggling in between the meditators. And there was a fire, you know, somebody with fire things, and it was quite something, actually. And just sitting there, I felt a sense of inner peace. And it was really interesting because it wasn't in contrast to what was happening around me. It was in harmony with what was happening around me. And I had this sense that people were just doing what they felt was how they could show what was important to them. And that for 60, 70 people sitting there meditating, this was what was important. And I got a lot of curiosity. And they had a big banner that said, "Hatred never ceases by hatred, only by love." And they had something else saying, "Open meditation classes on the hour," in another bit of the field somewhere. And it was just very moving, actually. Very moving. So I think we can sort of think of things like that, that at least help raise consciousness of another way of being, and help raise consciousness of the fact that if one can sit in stillness, then one is creating a different kind of atmosphere.